Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Guys, I had an enlightening conversation with Michelle during the break, just kind of breaking down the basketball skills of this radio show, this morning show. It's pretty impressive, and seems like, Robbie, I'm not nothing against you. She didn't say anything disparaging against you, but she seemed to really be impressed with Joe's game. Says the guy very clearly sharpens his elbows before these matches. He's aggressive. He gets after it. I told Michelle, I was like, could he maybe spew some of that onto our 10-year-olds in baseball? We could use that.
Well, after about the first Sundays. Three possessions, I was physically dead on the court. So there was that.
Yeah, she didn't throw any shade your way, Robbie. She was just, she was blown away by Joe's play.
Really? It wasn't very good, but I did. I mean, remember, I have to talk a lot of trash to my 14-year-old, one. And then with Elijah dominating, like, having to guard him, basically I just fouled the crap out of him every time I got the ball and he still finished. So I am a dirty player. I mean, that is something we can all agree on.
Well, you did watch The Bad Boys, you know, growing up. So there may have been a little, just a skosh of influence in there in your game.
A lot of Bill Laimbeer out there, no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, Darren, the results, not great for the Predators this weekend. They got hammered in Tampa Bay, which – by the way, how about the Lightning? They look pretty good lately.
You know, it's funny. I was saying last week, I'm not sure they're the same Tampa team that just won two cups. And they've got out and scored 40 goals in like three games. I'm like, oh, well, maybe they are the same Tampa team. My bad. My bad, Lightning. My bad.
They are pretty darn good. So you lose 6-2 Saturday. You know, it's 5-4 loss in overtime last night. I thought Minnesota was the better team, but you end up getting a point out of it if you're the Predators. And Vegas chokes one away last night. So you're still in pretty good shape, but I got to be honest, Darren, I don't really like the way the Predators are playing right now as they head into the final stretch of the regular season.
Well, I mean, certainly everybody could, you know, understand why you feel that way. They've gone 5-5-2 this month after a 9-5 month in March, and, you know, it's not going the direct, you know, you're supposed to be playing a certain way. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the conversations are in Denver. You know, they're not playing a certain way. Minnesota and St. Louis are. They're blazing hot. Edmonton was blazing hot until last night, and they lost. I mean, there's just a lot. Yeah, I mean, they're not playing the style that, you know, we were praising for a good bulk of the season. They're just not – they're not getting the production from certain lines, from certain players. You know, I don't really look at the penalty kill as a problem. It's just – it seems like – the problem they've had all season and staying out of the box that has persisted them the entire year has just finally caught up to them, and they're playing teams that are really good. Although Minnesota was not particularly good stats-wise on the power play. I think they came into the game last night 18th in the league with the man advantage, but they've been red hot of late. I think last night's two power play goals, they had five power play goals in the last two games. St. Louis, second best power play unit in the league, and they burned them. Edmonton was the fourth best power play unit in the league. Tampa is very good with the man advantage. Man, their passing is just so impressive to watch, isn't it? I mean, I don't really want to praise them too much because of what they did on Saturday, and they've won the cup twice, 2 years in a row. I'm jealous of all that, but man, gosh, if you just like step back and watch how they play, it's impressive, and I know a lot of them have been together for a long time, so that explains it. But to your question, Robbie, I mean, everybody has the right to feel that way because, you know, the Calgary game was a nice response on Tuesday night. They'll get them again tomorrow night. But, you know, just the third line that we've praised last season, that production, that well has dried up some. I mean, the same usual suspects that we've talked about with Cunningham and Tolvanen, and you guys know how I felt about that. I've put out my suggestions of what they should do with a little bit of a line shuffle. Nobody's listened to me. That's apparent. And that's fine. I'm not the coach, and they know more than me. But I've seen this coming for a good while, and nothing's really changed on that front. So I guess I'm not sure what would change on the results front, right? I mean, they've been getting production from Duchesne and Forsberg and Johansson all year, and Yossi. Nothing's changed there. They had to get it from other places, and currently they're just not getting that.
Well, and you have been. That's the thing, Darren. I mean, I've come completely – I've come around on the whole Jeannot thing, especially you know, Robbie had the stats that we've said a couple times on the show of all three of those guys individually. They're all in long droughts in terms of producing points at all. That line serves other functions, but when this team was playing its best, that line was also producing offense without question. So do you think – we know how you feel about it, and I think I agree that although it's like this last week, and so like how much shuffling do you want to do, I still feel like it might be worth a look. I mean, do you think that there's any possibility that Jeannot with Johansson could get a look?
No. Just because every time John Hines does it, he does it for a game and then races right back to the third line, which, you know, so no, I have no faith. I don't know. Maybe the play down the stretch will force that. I mean, just to kind of put things in perspective, and again, this is not to bang on anybody, but we have to talk about the results are the results. The stats are what they are. It's not even really an opinion. It's just a fact. I mean, when you go back to that St. Louis game that got away from him in the second period, Cunnan did have a goal in there. What was lost in the shuffle is Cunnan did have a goal. He had an assist in the first goal in that game, in the Cousins goal, which happened to be the first goal of the game, and then things, like I said, went awry in the second period. Do you realize that was his first assist? He'd gone 38 games, so that was his first assist in 39 games. That's basically half of a season. An assist! I didn't say a primary. I mean, primary, secondary. Like, think about where they've been playing, and he'd gone 38 games without an assist. I mean, that's pretty alarming. I don't know how you're supposed to take that any other way than I get it. Last night was down on the fourth line, but a bulk of a season, most of the entire season, he hasn't been. He's been in the top six, and it took the 39th game to pick up an assist. So that just kind of goes to show you to put things in perspective of, you know, how things outside of the big guns, the guys that have been producing all year long. And these guys have been producing. They're just currently, you know, like Jeannot has had a great season. Trennan's had a great season. They're just not producing at the same clip. That well seems to have dried up, and this is just not the time for that. Everybody knows that. I mean, this is a critical stretch. They're going to get in. I don't think anybody fears that they're not going to get in. I think at this point, you do need to – I know Colorado's lost four in a row, and they just may be sleepwalking right now. I think if you had to pick, to me, you're picking Calgary, right? I don't think it's a good choice either way, but you're picking Calgary. I mean, I'll go back to last Tuesday. Nick Cousins came in the postgame into Patron Platinum Club with me after that shootout win over the Flames and said they're like similar teams. He liked playing. He said that was a fun game. That they match up well. And so that's not my opinion. That's getting it from a player who's out there on the ice. I'll trust that over how I feel or any of us feel. So I guess if you're picking your poison, you're picking Calgary. So you need to stay in that top spot, that top wild card spot, you know, here in this week. You don't want to slide back to that last one in spot.
Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Darren, to that point, I mean, you had a gift from San Jose last night taking on Vegas, and they tie it up with less than a second left. They win in a shootout. So, to your point, they're still in good shape to make the playoffs. I think everybody feels like they're going to make the playoffs. But UC Saros and the way that he has played lately, do you worry at all about the cumulative effect of the amount of starts that he's had? Are you worried about his play? Is it more the play in front of him? How would you answer where you think UC Saros is as they head into the final week of the season?
I understand the question, and everybody, probably a lot of people feel the same way. Like, how do you – like, I wasn't sure who they were going to start last night. I mean, every time you think, oh, this is a situation where you go one for one game, then the other for the other game, and so UC went Saturday, then, you know, but we've been – retrained with John Hines, and I wasn't sure. Now, he went with David Rittich. I talked to UC Searles. He was the post-game guest last night, and I said, how do you feel right now? This is 79 games in the book. You didn't play last night. This is almost double the amount of starts you've ever had in your career. And, you know, I wasn't surprised. He just turned 27 last week. I remember 27. I think I had just gotten out of the zit phase. I'd gotten rid of all my acne, I think, by 27. My hair was a lot darker. And, you know, we had a lot of energy.
You had hair at 27? Wow.
Yeah, what's that like? I had lots of hair. In fact, I had lots of hair. I had a party in the back, you know? Just saying. Maybe not at 27. I'd probably gotten rid of the party in the back. You know, that little mini mullet. Probably by 27. I was moved on past that. But, you know, he said he felt great. And I wasn't surprised by that. I mean, he's wired just like Pecorine, right? Anytime we ever talked to Pekka. Pekka, they never wanted a night off. And you know, and if that's why you can't – sometimes you can't ask the player, because a player wired like – Pekka or UC Searles, like, they want to be in net. They want to play 82 games, and it's just not physically possible, and it's just not smart, especially in today's game. I think it was a much-needed rest. I suspect if they can take care of business here tomorrow, you know, Thursday, but, I hope it doesn't come down to the final game where the Arizona game actually has importance. But if it does, then obviously it may change the decision-making. But if it doesn't, then there's another opportunity to sit him again and give him just a little bit more rest to get geared up for the first round.
All right, I gotta, you know, throw the line out on this one, Darren, before we let you go. And I don't remember, this always happens to us after the show ends. I don't remember exactly the timing for you guys. A lot of times it's late in your show, but your reaction to Ryan Tannehill's beautiful Celsius ad, deep sea fishing last week after all the chatter about Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, yes. We were able to get that. That was out there circulating when we were on the air. So we did get to talk about it. Look, I don't ever say the players make your money. I, if that's a Celsius ad and that's you're endorsing, whatever. But again, I don't know if he knows or if he doesn't know, because I do think Ryan Tannehill is one of those guys that is pretty tone deaf to the noise, and he's not living here. He's down in Florida in the off season, and he's not a social media guy. So I don't know if he knows or he doesn't. I suspect it's hard to believe that he doesn't know the chatter going on. And then A.J. Brown, of course, his response of, wow, you know, LOL, not great timing here. I don't remember his exact words. But I think we all felt that way, right? And then A.J. Brown deletes it. That's the only thing I have a problem. Like, dude, it's okay. Like, if you put it out there and you're going to hit send, don't delete it. Don't go back. Once it's out there, man, they're going to find it, okay? It doesn't go away. It may go away moving forward, but it's not going to go away. It's just bad timing. It's a bad look. I don't know what else to say. Like, that last week, we know the narrative. I mean, he wasn't here. I thought he would be. I honestly, if you guys would ask me, and maybe we talked about it last Monday, if you'd have said, do I think he's going to talk? Yeah, I would have thought, you know, they're going to trot him out. He's going to talk. And clearly, I was wrong. And not only did he not talk, he wasn't even there. So it's just really, really bad timing. I don't know how you put this thing back. He's got to have just an unbelievable season and postseason for this to go away. I just think at this point it's so tarnished that I don't know how they're going to fix. It seems like this is going to be Ryan Tannehill's last year, in my opinion. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but it just feels like this thing is over after this year, unless he has the miracle season, which obviously everybody's rooting for.
Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Our guest joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. You can catch him every day here on 102.5 The Game from 10 to 2. Darren, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Guys, always enjoy it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Speaking of the text line, Pro Golf coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including a polo shirt, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf to 615-737-1025 and enter to win. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. By the way, you can check us out now on 106.3 as well. You can hear it downtown and down I-65 and I-24 coming in on 840 as well. So check us out on 102.5 The Game and on 106.3 as well. Make sure you have that preset on your radio dial. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Chad from Chattanooga texting in says, Tanner Janot was better when he was allowed to punch people. This coming from Chad from Chattanooga. It's been a while since we've seen Janot get in a fight. I don't think that that is causation of why the offense has gone down lately. He's still hitting people left and right. The fighting has not been as prevalent for Janot lately. I think some of that's by design, and we basically heard Borowiecki talk about that a couple weeks ago when he said, you know what, I wanted to get to those guys before they got to Tanner. So I think a little bit of that's by design, but it has been interesting that the fighting for Janot has come to basically a halt lately.
Yeah, well, he's valuable. Yeah, it's like, you know, Borowiecki, you know, making it clear. He sometimes is like, okay, let me get in. Let me get in on this. Let me take care of this. Take care of the designated fighter. I'll do it. And then, Janot, you stay free to do your thing. But who knows? Maybe this week some fists will fly again from Janot. I know he's still launching opponents all over the ice. That happened last night for sure.
Oh, yeah. That happened a few times last night. And, you know, Darren doesn't seem to think there's much chance there that they switch things up. And based on track record, I would say that he's probably right. If you're John Hines, though, like at some point with 0 points from those guys in basically the last 10 games at least, how much longer do you let that thing fester? I mean, you know what they can be when they're at the top of their game, so you've got that in your back pocket, and I guess you just hope they get back to that if you're John Hines, but I also wouldn't mind seeing Janot up there with Johansson for an extended period of time. They've done it a few times, not very long on any occasion. I wouldn't mind seeing that for an extended period of time here shortly.
Yeah, and another thing I don't know, and I'd love the answer to, is, you know, as you break down their line individually, what's gone wrong? I mean, like, you know, you had the stats on the drought for all three of them, different numbers, but all of them extended. You can see on a nightly basis, they just aren't as effective. But, you know, is there one guy in particular who's holding it up? You know, I mean, is there somebody ailing? I mean, I don't know. It's just really interesting, and it's obviously a big problem for the Preds that line hasn't been as effective. It's also obvious that John Hines does not want to mess with that line, and he hasn't wanted to all year. So do you depart from that here, like at the very end as you're trying to get in the playoffs and as you know, hopefully if you're the Preds are looking toward the playoffs? I don't know, but he's doing a lot of other things. You know, Tolvanen, you're a healthy scratch. Tolvanen, you're up with Johansson. Cunnan, you're here. Now you're down with the fourth line. A lot of moves that, you know, we've seen a lot kind of cyclically with this lineup, and that one is just untouchable so far.
Andrew on the text line says, I just don't care very much about making the playoffs when honestly you have zero chance of competing for a championship. It would take a miracle just to get out of the first round. This is coming from Andrew on the text line.
Well, look, I hear you, and I feel like there's way diminished excitement about this team and what it could do. But, I mean, just still consider the idea of this team not making the playoffs. You know, making the playoffs is not some reason for a parade, okay?
Right.
It's not some big yay, big celebration. But not making the playoffs, that's a big, big problem. And this tournament is very wide open. This tournament is very unpredictable. The Preds have a goalie who, when he's at his best, can put you in position in a series that you might not think you could be in on paper. So I understand. I've heard a lot of that, like, yeah, well, who cares? Well, I hear what you're saying, but like if they don't make the playoffs, which of course would be a heck of a collapse in this final week, a heck of a turn of events, it would be an incredible collapse overall by this team from January to now.
Ray in Hendersonville texting in says, it's time to sit Cunning and Tolvanen. Give Glass and Luff a shot. It can't be any worse. Matt Luff did get in there on Saturday. And they've, you know, Cody Glass got sent down to Milwaukee last week. I thought he was good when he was up. Now, some people are acting like Cody Glass was like, you know, the second coming of Wayne Gretzky when he came up last week. And I think that's probably taken a little bit too far. But there's no question it's not been good enough from Cunning and Tolvanen. And it's one thing to not be good enough offensively, which neither one of them have been. It's another thing to not be good enough offensively and then start taking minor penalties left and right, which has got to stop happening with those two.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's, yeah, Glass, I mean, you notice him some, which is good. I mean, it looked like there's been some progress made. Hey, I'm not, I mean, I agree with you. People were overstating what he did. I would, though, look at him and say, I don't know. Can it be worse than what you're getting from some of these guys? Is it worth a look again? I think it's at least worth discussing.
Yeah.
Because it's just been that bad for most of the year.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they shouldn't give Glass a look. I'm just saying that the idea that it can't be worse than Cunning and Tolvin, well, yeah, it can. And that's not what you want come playoff time. So I get it. Like Cody Glass, look, there was no question. The begin of the season, I thought he was nowhere near being NHL ready. And the last week that he came up, there were some signs where I thought he was engaged physically. He got in the battle. He got in on the forecheck, made some nice plays passing the puck with some stretch passes up the ice. He didn't score, but, I mean, he made some good plays. So there's obviously been some improvement there. I just wonder, like, if you're playing Cody Glass – at this point, you're probably playing him on the fourth line, and I don't know what he's bringing you on the fourth line that's much different from anything else you're getting there right now.
Yeah. I mean, you don't expect production. I mean, that's obviously what the fourth line is for. And there's a lot more to this than just what a player is producing. They need defensive zone, good play from their forwards. They need to be better. And last night, I thought they were just – I mean, at times, Minnesota was just overwhelming them.
Yep.
Which is why I actually think Dave Riddick played pretty well last night. But it was overall not a very good performance. They looked like the clearly inferior team, I thought, for most of last night's game. And even with that, it took the little Kevin Fiala highlight reel minute to put them in a tough position. But – they, if not for the Preds power play, which has been outstanding, that I think they were basically doubled up in shots and opportunities.
Got a texture that says, is Sissons indispensable? I'd like to see Novak given another chance. They're not, yeah. Colton Sissons is not going to be scratched.
Yeah. Colton Sissons is, look, I mean, he hasn't been as effective lately, and he was, on that last play. I can't blame Colton Sissons on the last play, by the way. I mean, he almost turned it and got it going the other way. Yossi's the one who was too aggressive, trying to go with him rather than leaving someone back to just to be safe. But Sissons does so much. And, by the way, winning faceoffs matters too. And he's the best on the team in the circle. And so Colton Sissons is going to be on the ice every single night.
He is. Now, he wasn't very good in faceoff circle last night, but more times than not, you'll take your chances with Colton Sissons there. Ryan in Thompson Station texting in says, playoffs aren't only about winning the cup. It builds character and, more importantly, makes the franchise money. That can be used to improve equipment, facilities, player amenities, and fan experience. This brings better players and additional national attention. This is coming from Ryan in Thompson Station. All that's great. And I think if you're inside the organization, you absolutely care about that stuff. Your average fan does not care about that stuff at all. The fan experience, right? I mean, part of it, sure, but they want to win.
Well, I think a few years ago when they weren't spending to the cap, it's probably a bigger deal, right? I mean, like, it's a bigger deal getting the playoffs and revenue and all that stuff. Now they're to the point where they are. But, yeah, very important in the organization for sure. And, yeah, it's – look, there was no – I got to stop. You got to put a limit on me ever bringing up 2017, but I'm just bringing it up to say, like, no one thought they were going anywhere. No one thought Montreal last year was going anywhere. No one thought the LA Kings in 2012 were going to get out of the first round, et cetera, et cetera. This tournament is wacky.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll look ahead to the Titans draft, now just 3 days away here. Finally, it's draft week here in Nashville. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage starting at 5 o'clock this Thursday and Friday on 102.5 The Game, presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and the Nashville Sheriff's Office. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live on Thursday from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark, and on Friday at 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You can watch all of our live coverage of the NFL draft via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the draft, we'll get to that and your thoughts on that here in just a few minutes. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Steve from Mount Juliet, who wants to weigh in on the Predators. Steve, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Thanks for taking my call. Really enjoyed the show. We're in a playoff run, and it's very tight between us, Minnesota, and Vegas. And we need every possible point, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then answer this. Why did Hines start Riddick against the Bolts, knowing that, you know, more than likely we weren't going to beat them whether we started Soros or Riddick? So why didn't he put in Riddick against the Bolts and then start Soros against Minnesota? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Well, I mean, Steve's not alone there on the thoughts of maybe going with Riddick against the Bolts. I can tell you this. I mean, as a coach, you're not really approaching it that way. We'll just throw the Tampa Bay game away and we'll come back against Minnesota. Now, you're not in a race with Minnesota anymore either. I mean, at this point, if you make the playoffs, you're playing Calgary or you're playing Colorado. Those are your two options. So it's impossible for you to catch Minnesota and St. Louis at this point. So there's not really a ton of difference in terms of the games themselves and what they mean to the Predators. But I can tell you, if you're John Hines, like, you're not approaching the Tampa game as, well, we have no chance here coming off 3 days rest against the Lightning. We'll just go with Riddick and then go Soros in the backup.
And look, it's very easy to look at Tampa Bay right now and say, oh my gosh, I mean, they've gone 8-6-8 on people. Okay. Yeah. But also before that, they lost 4-3 to the Red Wings. They lost 1-0 to Dallas. I mean, they got blown out by Toronto. They lost to Montreal. They lost 4 straight games. They lost 5 out of 6. They lost 6 out of 9 before they crushed Toronto, crushed Nashville. So it's very easy to sit here and say, yeah, it's Tampa Bay, come on. And especially now that it's a 6-2 loss, they were never going to win that game. No, come on. You don't know that you're not going to win that game. The Preds have actually measured up pretty well with some of the better teams in the league collectively this year. And you go into that game with Soros having received 3 days of rest, and you put your best team on the ice to try to win that game. That whole thing to me with you should have flip-flopped it is Monday morning quarterbacking at its finest. You know, when you see what the result is and you're like, you're never going to win that game. I couldn't disagree more.
Well, I tweeted this yesterday before the game. I thought there's a pretty good chance they're going to play Soros yesterday. I mean, they pulled Soros basically 2 minutes into the third period against Tampa Bay. And yes, they'd given up a ton of goals at that point, so that's why you pull him. I also thought part of the reason they pulled him was maybe, all right, well, let's just get him out so he can go tomorrow against Minnesota. And obviously they didn't do that. But I don't think there's any question. If the games all matter this week, and if you're the Predators, you're hoping that they don't from the standpoint of making the playoffs. But if all the games matter this week and you've got to play out the string against Arizona, like, Soros is going to play in all three this week. So probably some foresight there by John Hines as well to say, well, if the worst happens and we have to have all these games this week, got to have Soros as fresh as possible, so not going back-to-back against Tampa Bay and then Minnesota as well.
Right. So had he played yesterday, you'd be saying, okay, so that Soros might have to play the last four games, And again, that's four games in a span of 5 days. You don't want that. Now you've got that extra rest. You can back-to-back him if you have to win or get a point against Arizona in the finale.
Kenneth on the text line says, if the Preds will be bounced in the first round, I'd rather just not make the playoffs and get better draft picks.
Come on.
I hear it. That's the thing about this tournament, though. You never really know what's going to happen.
You want to be in the tournament. It's been a very disappointing couple months for the Preds and how they've played. They don't look like a team that's very dangerous going into the playoffs. You want to be in the tournament. Better draft pick? Eh.
Joe, we talked about this earlier, switching gears to the Titans and the draft coming up on Thursday. If you're John Robinson and you're looking at the wide receiver situation around the league with A.J. Brown, do you feel like there's extra pressure there to maybe try to get something done coming up on Thursday based on the Deebo Samuel stuff out of San Francisco, based on, you know, conversations that he's privy to that we're not privy to, according to A.J. Brown and his agent and what they're asking for? Do you feel like maybe there's a little bit more urgency this week for John Robinson to get it done, or is that something that maybe we on the outside and fans manufacture a little bit heading into this week, which is already, by the way, a very busy week for John Robinson and the Titans preparing for the actual draft?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that if you can carve out a good hour out of your day while you're preparing for the draft to knock out a deal with A.J. Brown, that's a good hour. That's a good hour spent right there. But, I mean, seriously, it is an incredibly busy week, obviously, and you're trying to get ready for it. But I think that just the fact that you've done it a certain way and it has worked out that way with a lot of other guys you've extended does not mean that circumstances can't dictate change in some other situation. And I think this is a situation where urgency should be applied, not end of the world, like you have to get the deal done or you have to trade him. I'm not saying that, but I think it would be beneficial to get it done and know that you've got it done and have clarity going into the draft. You know that A.J. Brown can play next year on his rookie deal, and he can play on the tag if you tag him, and it may go that way. But it's not something you want to entertain. I don't think we haven't seen anything from him like the Deebo Samuel just flat out requesting a trade. But I still believe that there is a possibility that A.J. Brown looks at the Titans' offense and says, you know, I could be in some other offense that isn't run-based where I am getting these numbers. I'm getting compared to these other guys by my numbers, but I know I'm one of the top guys in the league. So I need to be somewhere else to show that off. Now, granted, the Titans, I think, are going to pay him handsomely. So this is like he's still going to get the reward, right? He's still going to get the money. But maybe he thinks there's another team out there that, you know, that would reward him more. I think every effort should be made to try to get it done. When John Robinson has a few minutes here and there.
Coming up next, we'll get back into a question I threw out there earlier for Titans fans. Do you care less about this draft? Are you less invested in this draft than you have been in recent years? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Looking ahead to the NFL draft, and Joe, we talked about this earlier in the show. I have no data to back this up. I have no numbers that I'm throwing out there. It's just the sense that I get. I feel like Titans fans are a little less interested, a little less gung-ho about the draft this year than they've been in years past. Now, maybe some of that's because they don't have a second-round pick, so you're going first-round pick, and then you're not, at the moment, scheduled to pick again until pick number 90 in the draft. So maybe that's got something to do with it. Maybe it's because a lot of mock drafts have the Titans, when they got over the inside linebacker phase, picking the Titans to pick an interior offensive lineman. I don't know. I don't know exactly what the reason is. Maybe it's just still Titans fans hung over from the loss to Cincinnati in the playoffs. I'm not sure what it is, but I just get that sense. Number one, Joe, do you agree with that? And number two, if so, why do you think that is?
I'll be honest, I hadn't really thought about it until you brought it up today, but I think you're right. I think really, if there's one thing, because you could look at a lot of the things you mentioned, and you know, that may not be a sexy pick and all that, but I think if there's one thing, I think it's just, I still think that the way the season ended is affecting people. I mean, just in terms of the overall excitement about the momentum of this thing, I think Titans fans rightfully expect the team to be good in 2022. And they will be good. And, you know, there are still hopes that this could be a contender in the AFC. Win the AFC South should be a really good race. But a year ago, now remember, a year ago, there was no Julio Jones yet. But I think even a year ago going to the draft, there's a little bit more of a this team can contend in the AFC than there is now. Doesn't mean that it's accurate. I mean, look, the Titans could go 13-4 next year. That's 13-4 next year.
Yep.
They could also go 9-8. You know, we don't know. But I feel like there's just less excitement overall for the team. That would be my – if I had to put my finger on one thing, that would be it. I think if you told Titans fans that they're definitely going to draft a skill player in the first round, maybe people would be more excited. I just think people don't get all that excited about an offensive lineman, which I think is, especially if you're combining interior, exterior, or interior, you know, tackle, then I think definitely is the most likely position that they draft.
Liam on the text line says, I'm still a bit burned out from the way last season ended. Throw in the prospect of a boring but probably necessary pick on the O-line, and I'll be curious what direction we go, but I'm not super excited right now. Add in the fact that the regular season only matters to the extent we can hold off the Colts for the division. Nothing really matters until we see if Tannehill can remove the monkey from his back. The whole next season is in a bit of a pall. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Got another text. I've lost confidence in J-Rob when it comes to the draft. Just remember, you know, if things go well for the Titans this year in terms of Dylan Raidens and Caleb Farley, which I think is certainly possible with both, maybe more possible with, well, I don't know. I don't know who's more possible, but those are two big things. If those guys come out and have good second years like Christian Fulton did last year, then J-Rob will have had one bad draft. I mean, one bad draft, that's 2020. And there's no putting a lipstick on that pig. But, you know, I think it may be a little bit overstating things to think you have no – again, if you have no confidence in your GM and that's justified, then he shouldn't be the GM anymore. And I don't think that's the case at all with John Robinson.
Chris on the text line says, I'm more excited about the schedule being released than the draft. This is coming from Chris on the text line. That's coming in a couple weeks, by the way.
Well, you're in luck because it's coming in a couple weeks, but also the NFL has now segmented it. So it's like, you know, the European games will be announced here, and then teams can announce their first home game, and then the whole schedule. I mean, it's just incredible. Like, they're going to get to the point where like every day of a month is like a new week of the schedule. You know, like 17 days of a month will be taken up to announce the schedule. I mean, but they every little bit of information, they know that they can sell it. So they do.
Hey, they're on a mission to take over every single day of the calendar year, and for the most part this offseason, they've done a pretty good job of it.
Yes, they have. But Titans fans, not that excited about the draft. I don't know. That might be a good poll question.
Well, I think some of it, too, I mean, that could change pretty quickly. Like, I think Titans fans, a lot of them don't believe they're taking a quarterback in the first round either. And if they do believe it, maybe they're not excited about the quarterbacks that are there. Like, if in a normal year, let's say you had a better quarterback class, or at least on paper, what we think is a better quarterback class, would there be more excitement, and would there be maybe the chance you think the Titans take a quarterback if that's the case? I think the offensive line of it, the more I think about it, the more I think that's what a lot of this is they're not going to be excited about an interior offensive lineman being picked, regardless of how badly the Titans may need that player.
Yeah, but again, I'm also not ruling out a first-round receiver at all. I mean, I think I think it could break that way. I mean, it's just obvious things out of your control in a draft. You don't know how they're going to go. And, you know, it wouldn't be exciting either if the Titans trade out of the first round, but it'd be good. I mean, I feel like a lot of Titans fans would actually be excited about that just because then you add picks and you can probably get a similar value player back in the second round, plus adding a pick. So, but again, is that sexy? No, not necessarily. Titans haven't had a sexy, like, when's the last time going into a draft? It was like, you know, pure, like, wow, who are they going to get? Excitement that might knock your socks off. When you're good, that's just less likely. I mean, I think you go back to 2017 and the fifth pick.
Yeah.
When they took Corey Davis and they had two first round picks.
Joe, quickly, the NBA tonight, Celtics down 0-3 to the Nets, or excuse me, Nets down 0-3 to the Celtics, going for the sweep tonight with Boston taking on Brooklyn. Do you think that Boston finishes the job tonight and eliminates Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets?
I guess so. They kind of look like they're dead, right?
Yeah.
Simmons is not playing. You know, a lot of these teams have been able to extend these series. We've had maybe some better series than we thought. I mean, the Bulls-Bucks series is going to end up being a five-game sweep, you know. It's like you got your game and get out of here. But I feel like this may be it for the Nets. And if that's the case, one, you're going to see a coach firing, but also, like, what is the future with those two guys together? They're so freaking good, but man, what a disappointment.
It's been very, very disappointing. Grizzlies and Timberwolves coming up in game 5 tomorrow night. So another night of rest for the Grizzlies and Timberwolves. I thought the Grizzlies had them on the ropes, and then Minnesota with a nice response in game 4. So all of a sudden, I mean, it's 2-2. Pretty interesting series between the Grizz and the Timberwolves. And you can make a pretty good argument that Minnesota should be up 3-1 in this series.
Yeah, they outplayed Memphis a lot more minutes than Memphis outplayed them. And Memphis, when they went on, they had some just stunning runs in game 3 to steal it. But this is proven to be a pretty tough matchup for them. And when Karl-Anthony Towns is aggressive like that, and he's going to pop off screens and hit threes and do his thing around the basket, they're tough. You know, they didn't even have D'Angelo Russell playing well last game. So I still think the Grizz is going to win this series, but they might need to take this might go 7. It might.
Quickly from Huffy on the text line says, my son and I just got back from Talladega. That was his birthday present, quite possibly the best weekend of my life and his. Thank y'all so much. I love this show. This is coming from Huffy, who was our winner of the Talladega tickets last week. So, Huffy, glad you had a good time down in Talladega.
Awesome. Awesome to hear, Huffy.
Pays to listen to this show.
And thank you. That's right.
We're the only show in town that creates lifelong memories for people and their families.
Heck yes, we are.
We're the only show in town that has ticket giveaways. A little known fact.
Is that it?
Yeah. Or who plays pickup basketball games together and has Rex Road throwing no-look passes all over the place, hitting people in the face.
Yeah, there was that too.
Wait, who did I hit in the face?
The randoms.
Oh, yeah. The kids? Oh, that's right, that poor kid. I felt bad for that kid. Yeah.
So, there's a basketball right to the jaw. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.